time he's good. How many of you are ready to be fed by the Word of God this morning? Amen. I'm glad that you are. I'm so glad to be in God's house. I want to tell you that if God had not been on your side, that this thing, it would have done been over. Whatever you're going through in your life, whatever troubles that are coming at you, whatever despair is coming at you, whatever sickness has decided to come at you, whatever heartache has decided to come at you, I want to tell you that if God wasn't on your side, this thing would have done been over. But it is not over until God says it over, and God hasn't said that it's over. You'll know when he says it's over. You'll know when he shuts that book. And so, anyhow, now can I get a lady in here? Brother Mike does this every Sunday and he's sweet. Can I get a lady to take that baby? See, I want people, I don't want it to always be the same person taking the same kids every service. Why? Because it wears people out. Now, if you don't like a service, look here, everybody that's streaming this service, this is Pastor Ellie May. And look here, this is just what we do. If you want something scripted, look, it's going to just get more entertaining because we're going off the script. We don't believe in scripts here. I go by the Holy Ghost. And look here, that's the only thing that's necessary. God wants to talk to his people today. Who's here to listen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to Psalms chapter 63. I'm going to be ministering this morning on a subject that I think is one of the most relevant topics today, and that is the feeling of emptiness. Now, I don't know why everybody's looking at me like I've got three heads, because look here, don't act like you ain't felt that emptiness up in you sometimes. It's the feeling that, you know what? Sometimes it makes you feel inadequate. Sometimes you're trying to just be able to just be and exist, and you're coming up short. You feel that emptiness up in there, a lot of it, and it gets depressing. It gets us down. We feel that empty part of us, and we don't know what to do with emptiness. And I'm going to tell you what to do here about emptiness. This preaching, people can stand up here and they can preach and they can hoop and holler and be very entertaining. But unless you leave here knowing something to do about the problem, the pastor has not done their job. I take my job very seriously. And it's an honor and it's a joy and it's a privilege to walk in this call. So thank you for letting me be your pastor. Thank you for letting Jeremy be your pastor. You couldn't have pastors that loved you more. If y'all need us, you call us. It doesn't matter what time. It doesn't matter if it's in the worst moment of your life. All you got to do is call. We will be there. Psalms chapter 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. We're going to stop right there. Is he your God? See, it's easy to say on Sunday, and those of you that come on Wednesday, and let me tell you, if you ain't coming on Wednesday, you're missing out. Amen. You got to take him for what he is. He's either yours or he's not. And when you get down and dirty, because life gets down and dirty, it's good, Keisha, if we can say, God, you're my God. And God, not only are you my God, but I'm your child. A lot of people just want God's goodies, and they don't want to give God nothing. Look here, that will not work for you. That does not work in the kingdom of God. I would be doing you a very big disservice if I let you think that all you can do is come to God's table and eat God's food and take his blessings and give him the leftovers of your life. God does not want your leftovers only. Brother Mike, he wants them. He wants the leftovers, but he wants everything else. See, we get very confused. Yes, he wants the leftover. Sometimes, ma'am, all we have to give him is the leftover part of us, because nobody's taught us how to just give it all to him. I'm here today to teach you how to give it all to him. See, yes, he does want your leftovers, but he wants the other things. He wants the big chunks of who you are. We think that we have to wait till we all prettied up on the inside. Look here, God ain't concerned with what you look like on the inside. He's not concerned with what you look on the outside. He is here to make you look good both ways. As good as he possibly could. Look here, this physical body, it's a fleeting thing. That don't mean don't take care of it. But it's fleeting, so don't put all your stock in it. Amen. Put your stock in Jesus and put your stock in who you are in Him. See, realize that you're nothing without Him and that you're everything with Him. Is He your God? See, when you call on Him, does He say, oh, who is that? Who is that? Oh, I ain't heard from them since their last problem. Huh? And we laughing about it. That is truth. It's funny when the pastor gets up there and does a demonstration. Look here, I'm the most animated person you're going to probably ever meet. But when it comes down to it, look here, isn't it right, Casey? That's what people do. Let me make it a little personal. That's what you do. Let me make it more personal than that. That's what I do. Look here, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the people is good for the pastor. Sometimes I do that, Andy. Don't just call on Him when you're in trouble. Call on Him to love on Him. Call on Him when everything is going right. Why? So He can know who you are. I mean, look here. Y'all have people that just call you only when something is wrong. Here's what I do. I get that phone out. I'm looking at that phone. I'm going, well, Sally Sue's having a problem. Because I literally only hear from certain people when they want something or they're having a problem. Y'all got anybody like that? It's annoying, isn't it? Well, that answers our question about how aggravating that probably is for the Lord. See, when you give up everything that you have and everything that you are, and people only talk to you when they want something from you, that'll rub you the wrong way. See, that's exactly what God did. He gave it all up for you. He gave the only thing that He had, and that was His Son. Look here. It was the only thing He had, and it was the only thing that was needed. And He gave it up. He didn't be like, oh, I'm going to hold that in. That's my Son. He said, I want to be able to be these people's God. I want to see them in eternity. I want to be with them in eternity. The only thing that's going to save them is my Son. And if I have to give Him up for the sins of the world, if I have to make Him become the sin that's so disgusting that we're all doing, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give them my Son. And that's what He did. And because of what He did, we can call Him our God. Oh God, You are my God. Is He your God? My soul thirsts for You, and my body longs for You. The first thing that I'm going to tell you if you get up into an empty moment in your life, does anybody, am I just up here preaching to myself, or to anybody else? I felt it last night. I just come up. I said, Lord God, I feel very empty. I feel empty, God. Look here, I ain't worried about what y'all think about that statement. You don't think pastors come up and they feel an empty spot in them? We do. You don't think that we fight off depression? We do. You don't think we fight off anxiety? Yes, we do. I would dare to say we probably fight off more devils than the average person, because the devil is trying to constantly get us to fall. The devil constantly tries to get ministers all over the place to fall up in filthy sin. Look here, I ain't going to dance around sin. I don't care if I'm talking about pastors or if I'm talking about church members. We're going to call it like it is. And sin is sin. Sin is sin for pastors. Sin is sin for the church member. Sin is sin for the door greeter. Sin is sin for the child worker. Sin is sin for the deacon. Sin is sin for the visitor. Sin is sin, and I won't dance around it. Amen. Look here. What sets us free, Brother Donnie? God. Truth in God. I want people to walk out of here free, Brother Mikey, so guess what I got to do? I got to spit that truth out for the next 45 minutes. And I got to spit it out very generously. Because, see, y'all got a whole week before you're going to get this kind of preaching again. It's got to last. How does it last? You apply it to your life. So the first thing that I'm going to tell you to do about an empty feeling, number one, get hungry and get thirsty. My soul thirsts for you. Now, humans, is it still hot in here? Because, see, I'm hot. Are we hot? Brother Larry, let's crank that down. Thank you. Mama Kay? I'm not sure what to tell you. I'm going to get her a little Eskimo. No, I'm going to let her hang out with me for a week, and we're going to get her fattened up. Because I eat some terrible stuff. Anyhow, you got to get hungry and you got to get thirsty for righteousness. What is righteousness? The pure definition of righteousness is to be morally correct. You got to get hungry and thirsty to do the right thing. I didn't get very amens on that. Let's try that again. You got to get hungry and thirsty to do the right thing. That is being hungry and thirsting after the righteousness of God. It ain't fun to always do the right thing, is it? There is pleasure in sin for a time. And then there's also, look here, there is. I'm not going to deny it. I've experienced myself. I thought, man, this is funner. This is the best thing I've ever done. This is so entertaining. It's fun. See, in that fun, in that sin, here's what it does. All of a sudden, when you least expect it, that thing turns sour. And all of a sudden, the thing that was so fun, the addictive relationships that you just couldn't live without, the ones that you just could not say no to, they turn. And when they turn, that is when you begin to feel literally like hell on earth has broken loose in your life. I can preach about the hell on earth because I have lived it. You get caught up in the middle of something that you know is sin. It's one thing to sin and you don't realize you're sinning. Because what does God do with that? He'll tell you and then you'll know. It's a whole nother ball game when you do some willful sinning. See, you sinning it up, and you know you're sinning it up. That ain't good. Why? Because the Lord has an obligation to deal with you. But you got to get hungry and thirsty after some righteousness. That empty feeling in you, there's something missing. Look for your opportunity to do the next right thing. And then do it. And compound upon it. Keep looking for the next opportunity to do the right thing. See, a lot of us, we hungry and we thirsty to keep messing up. For one reason or the other. And a lot of it is not because we set our hearts out to just go against God. A lot of it is because the sin that we are in is very addicting. And I'm not even talking necessarily just about substance abuse, alcohol, drugs. I'm talking about things that relationships, friendships, gambling. Let's just get it all out there. I'm not just talking about one subject here. I am talking about all of it. You got to get hungry to do the right thing. You got to get thirsty. Or what happens, Mama Brenda? We're going to keep coming up empty. We're going to keep coming up empty because, see, we ain't really wanting to do the right thing. A lot of us, we will sit up in church and we're going to act like we want to do the right thing. When it comes down to the decision-making to do the right thing, a lot of times people say, God will understand one more time. God will understand if I do this one more time, and then I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit talking to that person. I'm going to quit smoking that joint. I'm going to quit doing meth or whatever we do up in Logan County. I'm not even sure. I'm not Brother Larry. whatever we do. Okay? I'm going to quit talking to that person the next time. I'm going to quit doing this the next time. No, you're not hungry enough. You're not thirsty enough. Apparently, you ain't empty enough. You want to get rid of emptiness? It's got to be filled. What is it filled with? Everything that's right. Everything that's right. You got to start stuffing it into you. Why? Because we've stuffed so much wrong up in our life. Our life has got cluttered with all the wrong things. We got to stuff Jesus in there. You coming up empty, you feeling, you get alone by yourself, and all of a sudden, it's just like a wave. That wave comes and you're grieving and you don't even know what you're grieving over. You're hurting, you don't know why you're hurting. You catch yourself in a moment, you cry and you don't know why. You sad and you don't know why. You get angry and you don't even know why. You get irritated. It's just like that wave. Look here, I'm telling you, if that's you in here today, there's a part of you that God wants to fill. How are we feeling that? Getting thirsty, getting hungry to do the right thing. You got to get that hunger and you got to get that thirst. And it's got to be for righteousness. Are you going to be emptier than when you started? You got to fill it. Now, I believe in backing up what I just said with more verses. So let's go to Matthew chapter 5 for just a minute. We're going to go back and forth. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. See, we just read, "Oh God, you are my God." See, you got to take some ownership in this thing. This is your God or it's not. And let me tell you, you're serving one thing or another. I seek you and my soul thirsts for you. Now we can read here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." For they will be filled. See, you having a problem and you feeling that emptiness? Look here. Emptiness, it comes on everybody. Emptiness just comes. It comes. Now, if it's too cold, y'all just let me know over there. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they're going to be filled." Are you hungry and are you thirsty? Because if you are and you're going to go after righteousness, God's going to fill that place. God's going to fill it. Let's go back to Psalm 63. "Oh God, you are my God and earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Anybody ever go through a dry spell in their life? Anybody ever go through a weary spell in their life? Look here. Everybody does. When the Christian can really learn how to be transparent about their weaknesses, then and only then do we really get to act like the hands and feet of Jesus. Why? Because, see, people are not attracted to perfection. Why? Because it's never something that can be attained. But when people can just keep it real and show others, look here, this is what I'm going towards. You can clearly see my weaknesses, but you can clearly see the hand of God on my life also. That's what people are going to go after. You got that emptiness in you? You're in a dry spell. You're in a spell. You're in a time in your life where you're coming up weary and you're frustrated and you don't know how it's going to end. You don't know how your story is going to get to from point A to point B. Look here. Get thirsty. Get thirsty. "In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory." See, have you seen God? It's the question of the ages. Well, I mean, I've never physically seen him. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Just because he ain't come and plopped up in your lap doesn't mean he ain't spared your life time and time again. Time and time again. See, if you could really see, if you could really see what God has done for you, the times that he's spared your life, the times that he preserved you for a purpose, because he knew that wasn't the end of your story, because he knew that you would straighten up and fly right, because he knew that when you turned around that you'd serve him. See, God doesn't just snuff us out because we do wrong. God gets us to a point where we want to do right. See, because it's common math. You do wrong, you're going to get some bad consequences. Does not take a Christian or a genius to figure that out. You get your keister turned around. Point yourself in the right direction. And get yourself to agreeing with yourself and get going in the right direction, you're going to get onto the Lord's way, and you're going to get to where you want to do the right thing. When you want to do the right thing, what happens to us, Keisha? We do the right thing. We also have a lot of chances to do the wrong thing.
Every day.
How do we fight our battles? We just simply tell the devil, no, we're not going to do that today. See, we try these things. I'm never going to do that again. Here's what I've learned about that. It doesn't work for me. Here's what I tell myself. I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to think those terrible thoughts today. I'm going to be productive. I'm not going to think about how I can't stand that person. They get on my nerves. I'm going to just push that off. See? You get yourself weaned off of some of this stuff. Stop worrying about for the rest of your life. Let's get worried about today. Because truthfully, that's all you can handle today. How do we know that's all you can handle? Because the Word of God tells you, sufficient are the problems and the things for today. They're sufficient. Stop trying to tackle tomorrow's issues. Let's talk about today. What are you going to do with today? Are you going to serve God today? Are you going to turn today? Are you going to keep turn today? See, what are you doing today? Are you saying, God, you're my God? See, you got to wake up every morning and say, you're mine. And God, I'm yours, and I'm getting the better end of that deal. God, sorry. Sometimes I'm getting the raw end of that, or he is. So, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. So many people, I'm going to get off on a subject for a moment, because see, I'm very sensitive to real life problems. I don't like to talk about silly things that don't really happen in life. I like to talk about relevant things. The love of God is better than life. Why? Because it makes life worth living. See, if you didn't have God's love, you'd feel out of control, overwhelmed, stressed, worried. So many people want to end their life because of a feeling, a temporary feeling. If you're listening to me today, I want to tell you that your life is worth more than you ending it. God cares about every single thing that you're going through. God loves you. God created you, and God is there for you. And he's there to turn it around. He's there to turn it around. The emptiness that you feel does not have to be there. We're going over today how to get it out of there. Number one, get hungry and get thirsty. Why? Because whoever hungers and thirsts after his righteousness, he said, I'll fill him. We just read Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Whoever hungers and whoever thirsts after righteousness, I'm going to fill them. God knows when we come up empty. God knows when we feel like we have nothing left to give. God knows when we've given it all and we're just coming up short. See, a lot of us, we have so much stuff going that we try to make everybody happy. We try to do everything. And when what happens is it's overkill. And when we feel that overkill, what do we want to do? There's two different things that people do. If you're like me, you're just like, oh, I'm going to keep going. I'll just wear myself plumb smooth out and make everybody else happy, even if it means something bad for myself. I'll just keep pouring out till I feel like I'm going into the negative. Then there's the type of person, Brother Sam, they get mad when they start feeling that way, and they're like, you know what? This is making me feel overwhelmed and empty, and I'm going to back up, and I'm not going to do nothing else for nobody else. Everybody is terrible, and I'm not doing not one more thing. We do that. I've also had periods in my life where I did that. And neither one of those traits helps. You can't get so burned out where you feel like you have nothing to give and you just keep giving. And then you can't be like, oh, I'm feeling so overwhelmed. I'm not doing not one more thing for nobody else. Everybody's terrible. I see this stuff on Facebook all the time. Everybody is terrible at, I saw one the other day. It was a real good one. I thought, oh, gosh. I mean, and you think you want to unfriend these people, but you're like, where will I get this much entertainment for free? That's what I start thinking. Okay. Brother Claudie's back there. Look here. Brother Claudie is very entertaining on Facebook, too. He even got put in Facebook jail. We won't go into why. Brother Claudie's one of my favorite folks. He don't care if I kid on him just a little bit. But look here. You got to get yourself where you're not coming up feeling that emptiness. My soul, I will praise you as long as I live. Let's go back to verse 3. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. They will not glorify the situation any longer. They will not make the situation bigger than the Lord. See, my lips will glorify you, God. You know what I do a lot? I glorify the situation with my lips. See, you're glorifying something by what you're saying. And a lot of times it's simply just over-talking something, talking it to death. My husband tells me this all the time. He's like, I feel like we've just talked this to death. He'll be in his recliner about the same time every night. We put them kids down. I look over at Jer, and it's the same thing every night. He goes, I feel like we have talked this to death. We have. We resurrected it and brought it back to life so we could talk about it again. Hallelujah. That's what I like to do. I like to get talking to it, and then I like to just keep on. That's a genetic thing. It's got to be. I couldn't possibly take responsibility for that type of behavior. Right? That's not any fun. Being responsible for bad behavior defects that we do? Blame that on your mama. Yeah, that sweet thing. Exactly. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. Look here. As long as you live, as long as there is breath in your lungs, I'm going to encourage you to praise God. Why? Because He inhabits our praise. If there's something getting next to you, getting you agitated, if there's a big storm, if you ride up in the battle, look here, if you'll cause your lips to praise Him, what does God do? Boy, He comes up into the praise and He begins to inhabit it. It's His language. Praise is how you talk to God. Not always gimme, gimme, want, want with your praying and you flipping them prayers up there like potato chips. I mean, I started eating some of them last night. I just had to put that thing down. You get to the end of that bag and you think, where did it all go? Well, you ate it all. Jeremy, don't you buy them things no more. And that onion dip, no. Bad news for a girl. Trying to lose some weight, and here he comes up in with potato chips and French onion dip. I mean, I didn't want him to feel bad, so I ate them. All of them. Big old bag. Thank you, Brother Sam. You've always got my back. My soul, I will praise you as long as I live. See, it's as long as you live. So many people, they set out so strong. Does how you start out matter? Not near as much as how you finish a thing. How you finish it. A lot of people start out a certain way. They get weary in the middle of that thing called their life. And they stop. They drop the ball. See, when you tell God, God, I'm going to praise you as long as I live. God, I'm not walking away from you. God, I'm not forsaking you. See, that's the end of a bargain that only you can keep up with the Lord. Because, see, it's got to be you. Nobody, I can't praise God for you, Stacy. I can't stand in the hard places all the time for you. Why? Because, see, that's a place designed for you to meet God. I can't fight your battles, but I can help you. I can come alongside you and show you how to do it. I can even go with it through you. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty of life, well, sometimes you just simply have to get some grit and some wit. And you got to bear down and you got to say, now look here. When I told God I would praise him all of my life, I meant it. I meant it when it was hard. I meant it when I didn't understand why he allowed something to happen. I meant it when every chip was down. I meant it. See, it's good to praise God when everything is going right for you. Let's talk about more realistic things. Let's talk about when it's all going wrong. Because a lot of times there's more of that time than there is everything is perfect. I always say, Jeremy? If this thing could ever get steered around right, we'll be on our way. Everything will be good from then on out. Look here, that is unrealistic. It just is. I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm preaching reality. Is that right or not, sis? It's right. You got to learn how to roll with the punches. And then you got to learn how to hand some punches out. The devil's punching y'all like a punching bag over and over and over and over. And we're just like, I'm just a meek little Christian. I'm just going to do the will of God, and I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and it's all going to be fine. No. You're going to have to get yourself bared down there and learn how to fight that battle and learn what to tell that emptiness when it comes. Emptiness will come when you're all alone. When you're in your bed at night. When those racing thoughts start to come and you can't go to sleep. God is right there with you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. See, it's not anybody else's name that you're lifting up your hands. It's in the name of Jesus. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Your bed, folks, is not the place for you to conjure up more problems for yourself and get yourself worked up before you think you're going to go to night-night. Now, ain't nobody going to go to bed under that circumstance. Isn't that what we do, though? We get up into bed and we're like, oh, let me overindulge on this problem one more time today. And then before you know it, it is 2 o'clock in the morning. And you are still on it. Now, this sounds like insanity, but is this what people do? Yes, it is. And then you get up and you're tired, And see, the devil will try to orchestrate things because he knows he got you to a weak point because you're physically tired. When you're physically tired, you're going to make some bad calls. Calls out of frustration, fatigue, weakness, weariness. Bad calls a lot of times will come out of just your physical body. You're just tired. You ever say something you thought that wasn't normally me, but I was just so tired, I was irritated, just... We do that. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadows of your wings. Let's go to Psalms chapter 91. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadows of your wings. Psalm 91 in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. What does it mean to rest in it? To stay in it. To stay in that shadow. In him we live. In him we move. And in him we have our being. Everything up till you living in him and you being in him and you having your being in him hasn't been you really living. Maybe a little bit of sin mixed in with a little bit of fun. You want to really start living? Give it all over to him. You want to get that emptiness up out of you once and for all? Get really thirsty to just do the right thing. No matter the cost. See, it is going to cost you something. It may cost you relationships. It may cost you friendships. It may cost you your way of living. Look here. We're going to talk about it all. You don't think God can help you make a buck? Make it the right way. I'll preach about whatever. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge. See, there we are again. I'll call out to my God. Well, who is he? Well, he's my refuge and my fortress and my God in whom I trust. He's the only thing that will ever be a constant in your life. He's the only thing that will ever be a constant in your life. People will let you down. People will disappoint you. People will hurt you. They will leave you. That is life. You know what we do, Keisha, when that happens? We go on. Why? Because we can. Praise the Lord. We go on because we can. See, a lot of things you say, I can never go on without this person. Oh, yeah, you can. Give it your best shot.
Yes, it did.
See, oh, my kids. Look here. Who is my mother and who is my father? Those who do the will of God.
Amen. Glory to God.
Glory. Those who's doing his will. That's who your family is. That's who your family is. That's who my family is.
Amen.
Family is not always blood. Y'all got to get that singing thinking out of your head. I'm not telling you to forsake your family, but I'm telling you to know what time it is. Know what time it is. You can go on without them. Do you want to? Probably not. Look here, give it your best shot, because God's going to show you he can make you all on your own. You got it. You got it. The moment you look at yourself and you realize you can do it with you and God, that's all that you need. You don't need nothing else. You need you and you need God. The moment that's here and the moment that's here, you're unstoppable. You take that to the life bank and you cash that in. Because that is how God wants to make it for you. See, you on your own, get God up in there. Get him up in there. Stuff him. That emptiness, when it wants to come, say, hold on just a second. I'm thirsty now for all the right things. That emptiness does not have a place here in my life any longer. We do a lot of talking to ourselves. You might as well talk to yourself the Word of God. Look here, if you don't know the Word of God, that's a real problem to do. How did Jesus talk to Satan when Satan had taken him to a high place? Look here, you don't think the devil will take you to a high place? You don't think he'll take you to a low place? Oh, yeah. He'll take you wherever you want to go. Wherever he wants you to go. You better know God's word. What did he say? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You best get to knowing what the mouth of God has to say about your trial, about your battle, about your family problem, about your life, about your marriage, about your kids, about your finances. See, the word of God, it says something about all of it. But if you don't know what it says, you can't apply it because you simply, my dear, don't know it. You got to know it. It's not enough for your pastor to know it. Look here, there are things that I think. Now, if they ever ask me what I really think that their problem is, I've got about narrowed down. There's a lot of problems with a lot of people. I don't go out and search for trouble, so I don't tell them about it unless they get me up into their life. Why? Because people get offended. Sheep get offended. And I'm not just waking up every day saying, how can I offend them? I don't. Because I want to love on you. You got an issue and you're thinking, why am I coming up against this every time? Well, talk to God. Talk to your pastor. We probably know. But until you want to know, it doesn't do the pastor any good to come and tell you what they think is your problem. That's an issue that pastors fall into, a trap. And they get weary and their fuse gets blown before it's time. I ain't searching y'all out to tell you your problem. Because until you want to know it, it's not worth even going there. If you happy in misery and in doubt and unbelief and not more than enough, look here. You know what I'm going to do, Brother Mike? I'll come right beside that person and I'll love on them. Because until they want to know, it's not time. See, a good pastor, they're not going to try to shove that down your throat. There's certain things I'll shove it down your throat. Like Sunday morning, we're going to get this a whammer jammer. But look here, when it comes to the things that I know, you ain't even ready to hear because you're going to get offended. Look here, when you want to know, God, he's right there. I ain't got nothing to gain by just starting offending folks with telling them all their problems. And I don't know all their problems, but God does. Let's read on. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. nor the plague that destroys it at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you. I get weary sometimes about a certain thing, and I say, God, I don't even know what to pray. You ever get there? You're just at a point where you're like, ugh, I'm flustered, and I'm weary, and I don't even know what to pray. I was feeling that way a few weeks ago, and I was walking to my kitchen. And by the time I couldn't even make it to the kitchen sink, because what was I in? A wave of grief. You don't think your pastor knows what that feels like? I sure do. I've had a lot of it. I was walking in my kitchen, that wave come up over me, and I felt that emptiness, I felt that concern, I felt that heaviness, that being overwhelmed about something that I cannot control. And I just, right there, I just fell to my knees, and I said, God, you tell me what to pray. He said, Kelly, you pray that I would send my angels of conviction. You don't know what to pray, you ask God what to pray, and he'll tell you. He'll command his very angels to do whatever they need to do in the situation. He commands them every day to watch over you. It's not an accident that you ain't 6 foot under. No, that was planned. Because there's been many times where the devil wanted to snuff you out. See, God did not allow it. If you could see the times that God stepped in that you're not even aware of, you'd love him all the more and you'd praise him all the more, because, see, you'd realize everything that he's done. We'd realize that every time that he stepped in. The other day I was on the phone. I'm not going to lie, I was really telling somebody about it. I felt something that I had never felt before. It's like a big hand over my mouth, and it just shut my mouth. So I was telling that person off, thank you, Lord. He said, shut up. Shut up. And I was right in mid-sentence. I just felt the Holy Spirit just put his hand over my mouth. Look here, you either want Jeremiah where it says, I reached down. Today, God reached down and he touched my lips and he put the words in my mouth. So you either want your words or you want God's words. Now you best figure it out. You have the power of life and death to heal somebody or to keep on destroying them. And by your words are you justified. By your words do you condemn, and by your words do you heal people. See, you want to get your loved one, you better quit telling them the what for. Say, God, put your hand over my mouth. He'll do it. You got to let him, though. Lots of us, we like to spew off at the mouth. You can't afford that in some situations. You don't want that. You want God's fixing it. If you open your big fat mouth, it's going to be harder. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. See, he's guarding you in all of your ways. See, when you're talking to that lost loved one, when you're talking to your spouse that's getting on your nerves, when you're talking to your kids that ain't acting right, see, he's guarding you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone, and you will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Glory. Rest in his shadow. Rest in his shadow. And when you go through in a storm, tread and trample. Tread and trample. What have we talked about today? Getting hungry and getting thirsty. Is that emptiness coming up too often? Get hungry and get thirsty. Do the right thing. Look for the opportunity to do the right thing. Love on God, because, see, he's going to rescue you. He's going to deliver you. Love on him and call on him. Rest in his shadow. You don't got to rest in the reputation that you once had. You don't got to rest in the reputation of your mama or your daddy. If you'll rest in his shadow, you're going to have an easier time getting that emptiness to come up out of there. Don't rest in worry. Rest in his shadow. Rest in who He is. And when you go through trials that's making you feel empty, tread and trample. Tread and trample. Stop walking around the situation like it's on eggshells. No, you own that situation. You take it and you tell God, hey, God, whatever your will is. Not my will. God, it's your will. I back up. This is me backing up. A lot of us don't know what backing up looks like because we ain't never done it. We're going head first and we've wallowed in it. Here's what backing up looks like. Just back up. And here's what staying back looks like. Back up, stay back. And when God tells you to move, stop walking around the situation like you're on eggshells. Tread on it and trample on it because you know He's given you the authority to do it. You don't got to walk around like a little whooped girl. He didn't make you a whooped girl when He saved you. Tread and trample. Tread and trample. The devil got you up in a battle. You might as well be the warrior up in that battle. Get up there, get your boots on, put your big girl britches on. Tread and trample. Show the devil he doesn't own that situation and he doesn't own your life. God is the author and the finisher of your faith. If He told you you could tread and trample, you can tread and trample. Do that. Stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to speak a blessing. Does the pastor have the ability to speak a blessing? Yes, they do. And it's with a lot of humbleness that I do that. If you're wanting to receive that blessing, lift your hands up to the only God that we can call out by name that has the ability to bless you. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You for every person, God, that's under the sound of my voice. God, and I thank You, Lord, that they've heard Your words. God, that they've fallen on good ground. And Lord, right now I ask that You would bless them, God, and I ask that You would keep them. God, I thank You that You've made them the head and not the tail. God, I thank You for the extra finances that's coming to Your people. God, I thank You for the health, the provision. God, every single thing that they have need of, Lord, You know of it. And God, You are taking care of it. And Lord, we hand it over to You right now. And God, I thank You for every good and perfect thing, God, that You put in our lives because I know that it's from You. God, we know that it's from You. And we praise You right now, God, and we thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.